Sometimes the memories from our time overseas fade a little bit, but hopefully the lessons that we've learned never do. For some veterans, it's the sound of aircraft overhead that takes them back. For others, it may just be the quiet moments that stick with them. Don Eggspuler, our guest today, knows that feeling all too well. As a Marine aviator in Vietnam, he wrote letters home to his mom. They were honest, funny, and full of life in the middle of a war. Decades later, he discovered those same letters and helped him rediscover what mattered most and reminded him how important it is to share our stories while we still can. His reflections on service, loss, and resilience speak to anyone who's ever struggled to make sense of what came after coming back home. Before we get into the story, though, I want to take a moment to raise awareness for something that's really important to our community, the Global War on Terrorism Memorial Foundation. This organization is working to build a permanent national memorial in Washington, D.C. to honor the service members, families, and civilians who were impacted by the Global War on Terrorism. This memorial will serve as both a tribute to those who served and as a way to ensure that their sacrifices are remembered and recognized for generations to come. If you want to learn more or find out how you can support their mission, visit GWATMemorialFoundation.org. Now let's get into today's story. Hey, Don, welcome to the show. I'm really glad to have you here.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yeah, you bet. Hey, so before we kind of jump into this conversation, we're gonna talk a little bit about your experiences and things like that. But tell us about a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your background, just for the listeners maybe who aren't familiar with you and, you know, maybe would like to know a little bit about you before we dive into the conversation.
Okay. Well, my name is Don Eggspuler, and I grew up in a small town in Iowa called Iowa Falls, Iowa. And I was there all the way through high school, then I went to the Ohio State University for college. And I got my draft notice on the day I graduated from Ohio State. So I had a pilot's license and a degree. So I thought, well, I might be able to get into a flying program in the military. And that happened with the Marine Corps. And I thought the war had been going on for about 10 years at this point. I thought with a couple of years of flight school and a squadron, that I probably would miss the war, but unfortunately I was sent overseas to Japan, and then our whole air group was moved into a jungle in Thailand, and we flew missions into Vietnam in the last year of the war, primarily night missions and day bombing missions in the DMZ area. My mom told me when I graduated that she said, you better write me letters and send lots of pictures, and so I did. And, you know, it was after I was back, about 6 years after I was back in the States, that I asked her, I said, Mom, did you save any of those old letters? And she said, oh, yeah, I've got them all. And they're in a box up in the attic. And I'm going to reread them again someday. And I said, Mom, no, you're not. Let me take those back to Dallas and reread them myself. And I did, and I put them in chronological order. Most of them were handwritten, so they were kind of hard to read. So I retyped the best parts of each letter and put them in a book for my mom for Christmas presents. And she loved it. She absolutely loved going back through all the stories and pictures and so forth. And she died the next year from cancer. And so the book just sat in my closet for 45 years. And I got it out last year, and I thought, you know, maybe this is something that Vietnam veterans, Afghanistan veterans, or even people who haven't been in the military would enjoy reading about boot camp, flight school, and going into combat. And so I published it and really gotten some great response. It's really caught on because it's very authentic. And I tried to keep it light and humorous. And so I think there's a lot of funny stories besides being in a real serious situation.
Sure. And so, sometimes even in those real serious situations, you can find yourself appreciating some of the humor of the situations, right? Like sometimes, you know, people call it like a dark humor or something like that, but there's funny moments that can happen even in those dark situations, you know, situations like combat or whatever. And, you know, even things that you think in the time, it's like, this is the worst possible scenario. But looking back on it, especially all these years later, you might be able to laugh at some of the things that took place, and I'm sure that's what some of the readers might get out of it, you know, just by, you know, reading some of that, they might be able to appreciate some of the humor. I mean, removing themselves from the situation, obviously, but it's nice to be able to see the perspective of one soldier, one Marine, one airman, one, you know, whatever branch of service you were in, to see from that one person's perspective, what was this war about? I mean, we can read about the war in history books, and we can read about individual battles, individual things, but what was, you know, April 7th of, you know, whatever year, what was that like for you on that day? What was the hard stuff that you were doing, or maybe even the funny stuff that happened, or what were those things that actually happened for you? And so that kind of helps paint a picture of like, what was the war actually like from one person's perspective, right?
Well, I think from an aviator's perspective, at least we were trained to do our job. And I think one of my biggest problems I had about Vietnam in general was a lot of guys graduated from high school, and the next thing they knew, they were carrying a rifle in the jungle and had no real training or experience of what they were set to do. And I think that was what I had a real problem about the war, and a bitterness afterward. But for us, we were trained. We went through flight school together. We formed a bond that is unlike almost any other bond you're ever going to form in your life, going into battle with these guys and depending on lots of other people to do your mission. And I think for me, probably the most, you know, we started off doing day bomb missions where we'd roll in at 12,000 feet and hit a smoke target that a forward air controller put down on the ground, and roll in on a 45 degree angle and drop our bombs a few at a time on targets like that in the daytime. And that was something we'd really practiced a lot, and so it wasn't that scary. But I think the hardest part for me was the very first night mission, because we had the capability in the A6 jet to track moving targets on the ground. It was called AMTI, or Automatic Moving Target Indicator. And this is, we're going into North Vietnam at night with no radio contact with anybody. So you're all on your own. And if you get shot down, again, there's nobody to talk to. You went down somewhere and didn't come back. And that was probably the scariest moments, because they really learned that we were going up and down the road, stopping the convoys coming down from the north, bringing supplies and ammunition to the south. And so when they heard us go over, at first they used to just shoot at us, but we were long past them by then. But later on, they learned, oh, that's an airplane going down the road here. I'm going to radio up the road about 5 miles and tell all my buddies to start shooting bullets in the air. And that's exactly how they shot down a lot of our planes at night, because we couldn't see that coming. It wasn't like a SAM missile where we got all kinds of warning. It was just bullets in the air, and you're flying through a curtain of bullets. So again, those were probably the scariest moments. But when you got back, everybody else in the squadron was going through the same thing. And we would party, and we would talk about it, and we would hug each other and say, we got through another day, and we'd have to go do the same thing the next day. Yeah. And so somehow you find the strength and the courage to go do that every day. And I hope that came through in the letters to Mom, because I was trying to be honest with her about what we were going through, but also show her the great side of the other guys in the squadron and how they helped.
You know, I know from my own experience and other people that I've talked to, other people that I served with, that oftentimes when when you either write home or call home, however you get to communicate back with home. You know, I was in Afghanistan. Obviously, technology had changed, so there was email and Facebook and things like that at that point, which, you know, obviously you guys didn't have in Vietnam. But, you know, there were other means of communication. But I think regardless of the method of communicating, a lot of times guys will want to kind of shield their loved ones back home from some of the realities of the things that they've experienced, the gruesome nature of war, the death and destruction and all the things that come along with war, to, I don't know, maybe just protect them from even knowing that some of these things even happened. But it sounds like you kind of took a different approach, like kind of like you wanted to be honest and open about all these things that were happening. Is that kind of the approach that you took?
I think so. Again, as when you're flying in an airplane and you're dropping bombs, you don't really see a lot of the gory details that were happening on the ground.
Sure.
And that's where I think a lot of the guys that were in the infantry, the Marines that were that down there fighting and watching their best buddy get blown away right next to them, that's a lot tougher than being in the cockpit. But again, when we lost 9 guys, 7 in our squadron were shot down and never came back. And you know that it's still, you've been through so much with these guys, and when they don't come back, you go through a lot of the same stages of grief and PTSD. And I think it hits a lot of us later on after we come back. And a lot of us came back very bitter about the war, that why did we go do this? It was over 55,000 guys. What for? We just walked away from it. And then we walked away after we'd really had them pretty well beat, because we'd been bombing Hanoi solid for about 6 months. And we'd been bombing all over North Vietnam for that last 6 months of the war. And they finally said, okay, we'll go to the peace talks and release the POWs. Hmm. And then we walked away. And they just came in and invaded and took it over in a few months. So I think a lot of us had a really bitter feeling about that war in particular. And I'm sure you did in Afghanistan, being there for over 20 years and not really getting to accomplish what we set out to do.
Yeah, so, I was just going to say that that there's so many parallels between Vietnam and Afghanistan, the way that we withdrew, the way that the country kind of, the direction that it went after we left, and almost seemed like, was it even worth it? You know, you start to question, you know, all the lives that were lost, all the money that was spent, all the families that were torn apart, all the things that took place, all the people who came back broken in one way or another, whether it's mentally or physically, all these things that happened to people. Was it all worth it if at the end of the day it didn't really change anything in these places? Yes. And gosh, you know, I saw the parallels as we're going through the Afghanistan withdrawal. They even had some pictures of like the helicopter leaving Vietnam, like the last American, you know, troops like leaving Vietnam and the last American troops leaving Afghanistan. It was like very similar, just the way that the two went down. And I don't know, to me, it just, I don't know. At the time I was feeling optimistic, like maybe we lit a fire in the people of Afghanistan, that maybe they're going to fight back and maybe they'll pick up some you know, arms and fight back against the Taliban, and they'll take over their country on their own. That was maybe just blind optimism or something. I don't know what it was, but all these years later, now looking back on it, that didn't happen. And I realize now that's not going to happen. You know, whatever happened happened, and you know, it is what it is now. But you know, we look back on it, and it almost seems like, was it even worth it? You know, and you start to raise those questions, right? Was that kind of your feeling too?
No question about it. Yeah. And I was very disheartened when I saw the Taliban and everybody just laying down their rifles in Afghanistan and just deserting all the equipment and all the training that we'd given them for years and years to defend themselves. And they just gave up. And that really happened with the South Vietnamese as well. They just gave up to the NVA and let them take over. And again, a lot of the things that our country was so worried about, that, you know, all of Southeast Asia would become communist, it didn't happen, you know? So again, the whole reason for us being there really didn't make a whole lot of sense. And it's exactly the same thing in Afghanistan and Iraq and a lot of the other wars we've been involved in. So we're kind of in the same boat right now in the Middle East. We can't solve their problems that have been going on there for a thousand. Again, we can try. We can try to help them find a way out and a peace plan somehow. But putting in a whole bunch of troops is just not going to do it.
Right. Yeah. And I think one of the lessons that I've taken away from just my experience in Afghanistan and seeing how all these other wars have kind of played out is that, you know, if we're going to go send troops someplace, it better damn well be worth it. And we better have an objective, a goal that we're fighting for. And once that objective is achieved, get the hell out of there. Let's not stick around and drag this out to be another 20-year war or even longer, God forbid. You know, let's go in with an objective. Let's be surgical about it. Let's get the mission done and let's leave and continue on with our happy lives. You know, let's not spend any more time or energy or resources, you know, and for whatever reason, we spent way too much time in places like Afghanistan, even Vietnam, you know, and these things, unfortunately, it just seems like history has a funny way of repeating itself. And I don't know if it's financially motivated, politically motivated, whatever it is, it just continues to repeat itself, right? Yeah.
So what do you do? If you're in the military, you do what you're told to do. You're told what the mission is. You go do your job. I think another thing, a lot of Vietnam veterans weren't really very appreciated when we got back home. And like nothing like a World War II guys got when they came home. And I think the same thing is true of the Afghanistan veterans. It just seems that the people today just don't really appreciate what they go through and don't appreciate their service to the country.
You know, I agree that I don't think they have an appreciation for what goes on, like in Afghanistan, Iraq, other places like that, because they haven't experienced it as far as that goes. But I will say that I wasn't around for, you know, like in your time in Vietnam era to experience this myself, but from stories that I've heard from other Vietnam vets coming home, they wouldn't even wear their uniforms out in public because they were afraid of getting, you know, assaulted or, you know, being called names or all sorts of other things like that. Whereas for us, I remember coming back home from Afghanistan, landing in the airport in Atlanta, and there were hundreds of supporters there with signs and flags and all these things, you know, supporting and really being appreciative of, you know, the fact that we were there serving and protecting and, you know, whatever it is that they were, you know, kind of appreciative of, they were there celebrating that. And that to me was like a night and day difference between the stories that I've heard from folks like you who were in Vietnam, where you wouldn't have expected anything like that. Like if anyone came and even gave you a handshake, that would have probably blown your mind. And you know, so that was probably the biggest difference that I've seen between the two wars is that, you know, you guys were getting spit on and, you know, called names and even assaulted and things like that. And we had nothing like that, you know, nothing.
I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that you guys got a good welcome home because you really deserved it. And
sure.
Thank God. Yeah. Well, people learned, I guess, a little bit after Vietnam that they didn't treat us very well. So
no, they most certainly did not. And you know, I want to get back to this book. You started talking about the book a little bit and some of the letters that you wrote and everything. And kind of like what triggered that in your head to turn this into something more than just a stack of letters that mom kept in a closet?
Well, that's a great question. And you know, I've written some other books called Life Lessons Learned in Grade School. My first wife died from a brain tumor at age 46. So I wrote a memoir, a family memoir about how our kids became caregivers for her that last year of her life. And so I have really always been kind of drawn to stories of the family. We had a real big family. I was the oldest of five kids. And back in Iowa, there wasn't a whole lot to do as far as entertainment. So I got to know my grandfather really well. And he told me stories about when he was growing up as a little boy, 60 years before me. And I've always loved those stories because I learned so much from my parents and from my grandparents. and passing those stories down to future generations. That's been kind of what my whole motivation has been, is that my kids and grandchildren and so forth will maybe understand what Vietnam was like, and will maybe understand. And I've had even women that never had any interest in the military read the book and say, wow, I didn't realize Marine boot camp and flight school and then going into combat was anything like this. So it was, they learned from it. And that's heartwarming to me, that somebody can learn from somebody else's experiences and maybe learn some good life lessons, or learn, you know, that life doesn't always go the way we want it to go. And we don't have a lot of control sometimes when bad things happen in your life. And it's really how you react to bad things happening that you learn. And you learn to deal with grief. You learn to live with failures as well as successes, so that your life means something if you have a few failures and you learn from those failures. And that's what growing up is all about. Life lessons learned in, I'm just now releasing Life Lessons Learned in Junior High, because those stories were different than grade school. And it's different lessons that you're learning at that point in your life. And that's a real tough time for most kids, because they're going through puberty and they're becoming adults, but they're not really adults yet, and they're not kids anymore. And giving those stories of what I went through as a kid in junior high in a small town in Iowa, I think will help people deal with some of those issues that they face themselves. And hopefully older people like myself will pass those stories down to their grandchildren if they're reminded of a story from one of my stories. So that's my motivation, I think.
Yeah, and when you share stories like that, you know, if you were to just keep all those stories, the conversations that you had with your grandfather, the stories from Vietnam, the stories from grade school, junior high, all these stories, you know, even, you know, other just family stories, things that... Yes. Happened in your family. You said you're one of five, so obviously there's a lot of family dynamic going on just within your own household. But you know, I got to imagine there's probably other extended family and stuff too that you interacted with, and there's probably lots of stories that go on there. If you just kept that all to yourself, at some point in the future, all those stories will die with you, and they'll go away, and no one will know anything more about those situations, the time in Vietnam, yes. your time in school, and all these other stories that, quite frankly, they're valuable. I mean, you went through something, you know, difficult, like let's just say boot camp. You know, boot camp is not for everybody, right? And not everyone's going to have the same success story necessarily, but you, I'm sure you learned something of, you know, resilience and, you know, things like that through going through that difficult, like a lot of other soldiers and Marines and folks who go through that type of transformation, if you will, what they learned from that, you can now pass it down to somebody else. And what a shame would that be if all those lessons just disappeared all in, you know, blink of an eye. And, you know, it's great that these lessons are written down someplace now that will outlive you. It'll outlive me. It'll outlive, you know, your grandkids. They're there now for years and years to come. And it's just a great way to be able to share these lessons for future generations to be able to not only understand the history of what happened, which is important, but also the lessons. Like, yeah, sure, you tried something, you probably failed at something, and you had to bounce back and try to figure it out. And if you can help somebody else, I don't want to say shortcut or fast forward through it, but you know, if you can help someone else figure out how to figure out the whatever the problem is, then that's a win for everybody. And so, you know, these kind of stories, I think, are just amazing in that regard.
Yeah, and again, I think a lot of people have a problem with putting down their thoughts on paper, writing something out, and that's always been very easy for me. Although it does take a process to get the thoughts down, then edit them and make every sentence count and really make the story fairly short, but it has a beginning, a middle, and an end, and it has some sort of resolution or lesson that you learn from that story. But I got into audiobooks there about a year ago also, and three of my books are now on audiobooks. And because a lot of people my age can't read that well anymore, even if they have Kindle, they have a hard time reading a book, but they can listen. and they can still learn lessons and pass lessons down to their children and grandchildren, no matter what age they are. So sure. it's been a real enlightening experience for me to get to narrate these books and to write the books in the first place. And that's what I've spent my whole retirement doing is writing the last 15 years. And I'm publishing my sixth book now. And if anybody has interest in any of my books, the best way to find them, they're on Amazon, but you can go to lifelessonsbooks.net. That's my website, and it has all my books and a biography about me. And you can just click one button, and it'll take you right to Amazon and to that page. And you can buy the audio book or the paperback or the ebook on Kindle. And if they have interest, that's the easiest way to find my books.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I'll definitely have that link in the show notes for the listeners to check that out so they can then click through, check out, you know, your current books and maybe even any future books that you might have, you know, coming down the line. I don't know if there's any more that you have in the back of your head that you might want to get out there, but you know, I'm sure there are more lessons, life lessons, because you know, there's, yeah, of course, you're learning things in grade school, you're learning things in junior high, you learned stuff in Vietnam, you learned stuff in boot camp, you learned stuff, you know, even after the military. I gotta imagine there's you know, probably even some lessons about transitioning from the military back into civilian life, because that's something I think a lot of veterans struggle with when they get out. Sometimes they don't even realize that it's going to be as difficult as it is to reintegrate back into society. And then, you know, who are you after that uniform comes off? And so, you know, was that a, you know, a struggle for you coming out of the military? Was that something that you kind of found difficult, or were you able to kind of transition rather smoothly?
I didn't have any problem transitioning into professional life, because back then, if you had a college degree and military background, a lot of companies were interested in you. And I had some computer software background, so I went into computer software sales. And I didn't really have a hard time converting into business. What I did have a hard time with was, again, thinking about the buddies that I lost and their families, and that they'd never be the same, like you said earlier. And I did deal with some PTSD. And that actually happened years later, after I was back. And I got some counseling. When my wife passed away at age 46, I went to some grief recovery groups at two different churches that were amazingly helpful, just to commiserate with other people that are going through the same thing you are. So for any veterans or people that are dealing with PTSD, if you haven't gotten some one-on-one counseling or gone to a recovery group of some sort, I would really strongly recommend that, because it was very helpful to me to avoid depression and going downhill when you really don't need to. All you need to do is really kind of understand what emotions you're going through and how to deal with those emotions. And I felt it was extremely beneficial for me to go through a lot of the just talking to people and getting it off your chest. And then once you've got that done, it's a big relief to go on with your life and say, you know, I'm pretty lucky all in all that I got through this, and that I have a wonderful family and brothers and sisters and children and grandchildren in this part of my life, something that a lot of the guys didn't get.
Sure, sure. And I think one of the things that has me to kind of put things into perspective every once in a while is, you know, whenever you're having a hard day, whenever you're having a difficult time, you might be going through a difficult situation, maybe, you know, like in your case, the loss of your wife, or, you know, other difficult situations that people may be going through, is that no matter what you've gone through, no matter how old you are, you have survived 100% of the difficult times in your life up until this point. You can keep going. Like you, all those things that you look back on, those are challenges that were, they were difficult things to go through, but you survived. You got through all of those things. And you, guess what? You can do that again tomorrow and the next day and the day after that. You know, it's a hard thing to wrap your head around sometimes when you're in the middle of it, but it's like, crap, I did a lot. I got through a lot of really difficult things, but you know, it's not because you just threw in the towel and gave up and said, you know what, I'm not gonna talk to anybody. I'm not gonna get any kind of help. I'm just gonna sit here and just fester in my own misery. it's not because of that. It's because you got up and you did something, and you, like in your case, you went to these groups and they were helpful, you know. And so, you know, so everybody else who's out there, if you're just sitting there and wondering why you're not getting better just because you're doing the same thing that you did the day before, well, that's why, because you're doing the same thing and it's not changing anything. You have to try something new. And in your case, these groups worked. And, you know, coming from a time where, you know, PTSD and, you know, the therapy options that are available now were not readily available when you were getting back from Vietnam, you know, not the way they are now, at least. And it was probably even more or less frowned upon. You know, it was looked at maybe not frowned upon, but maybe looked at in a negative light, you know, for anyone who did go and get help through some sort of therapy or whatever. You know, it was just a different connotation, different time back then. And so when you took that step to go do it, to go talk to somebody or go to these groups, that had to be a maybe even a difficult decision to make, to say, I need to go do this, because, you know, in the back of your head, you might be worried about what are other people going to say about me? What are other people going to think or whatever, you know? And that fortunately is less of a concern now. I'm sure it still exists in some respects, but, you know, it back then it was much more of a stigma associated with it, right?
Yeah. And I think even something like what you're doing now, Scott, with your podcast, and this is a therapeutic thing for a lot of people to listen to others and what they've gone through. And I applaud you for doing this. This is your way. It's similar to me writing books of giving back. And I really do. I enjoy your podcasts a lot.
I appreciate that. Yeah. And, you know, even looking at it from my point of view, it's beneficial for me to be able to sit here and have this conversation with you and all the other guests that I've had, because you're sharing your experiences of the things that you did. I've never flown in jets over Vietnam, dropping bombs or anything like that. So I have no idea what that's like. I've been on the ground in Afghanistan as an infantryman, so I know what that's like. But I don't know what you went through and what you experienced, or what, you know, a sailor aboard a ship has experienced, or, you know, other people in different jobs in different countries or different wars. I don't know what any of them did or what their day-to-day was like, but getting to sit here and hear your story or hear other people's stories is kind of beneficial for me, because I get to kind of understand a little bit about what you guys had gone through, you know. And it's good. And having, honestly, anytime you get to have a conversation with another veteran, it is just, and regardless of the war that they fought in or whatever, or even if they didn't fight in a war, just another veteran, there's just that little bit of understanding where there's that common ground, and you can just jump into a conversation. I mean, you know, very often on this podcast, I have not spoken to the guest prior to maybe 5 minutes before hitting record. And, you know, we, at the end of the conversation, it's almost as if we've known each other for years, because we just have such great conversations, you know? And so it's beneficial in that respect, you know, for me, but hopefully, like you said, for the listeners as well, can kind of take something away from these things and maybe even open up their minds to the possibility that, hey, if you go and talk to other veterans, this might be beneficial for you too. So you're not just sitting there passively listening. You can actually engage in the conversation and be a part of it and share your perspective, share what you experience, share all of those things with somebody else. And maybe that's the piece of the story that helps somebody else on their own path to recovery, or whatever you might want to call it, right?
I totally agree. I really do. It's so helpful, I think, to talk about, well, really everything, whether it's the service or just your life in general, or, you know, probably stay away from politics, because you're never going to change people's minds really about politics.
Sure.
But other than that, I'm an open book and love to talk about it with people if I can be of help to anybody. And that's how I've done it, was just writing books, and you've done it through podcasts, and other people do it in recovery groups or as, you know, ministers to lots and lots of people in a congregation. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of sharing what you know and what's been helpful to you in your life. And it might be helpful to somebody else in ways you don't even know.
For anyone who might be out there listening, who is hearing kind of your side of things and is thinking to themselves, like, I have a story inside of me. I have something that can be, you know, pretty good in a book format. I just don't know where to start. Do you have any advice for folks who might have a story inside of them that needs to get out, needs to be shared with the world? Where do they get started?
I think my process is, first of all, just get your thoughts down on paper, just rough thoughts as often as you can. And something I do with my iPhone is, if I think of something and I don't have time to write it down, I'll just make a note to myself in the notes app that I can come back to later and listen to it and say, oh yeah, that was what I wanted to get down on paper. Once you have an outline kind of down of the story, I think it's good to then run this by some other people, loved ones, other people that might be interested in the story, and how you can delve down deeper into the detail and especially into the emotion that you're going through at the time. That's something I always try to do, is put the reader right there where it was happening, so they can relate to what you're going through. And the more detail you can get about the emotions you're going through, the better. And then, you know, there's usually always a crisis point, and then you go a downward spiral, but somehow you climb out of that. And that's a successful story. It has a lesson. It has meaning to you. So it will have meaning to other people. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to be a great writer. You really don't. If you just talk to people in a regular voice, that may not be a best-selling book, but it might be a real important book for your children or your grandchildren someday, especially if you have pictures and you can really take them back to that moment. I think that's the joy of it for me. Reading stories to my grandchildren is a lot of fun, especially if they're my stories, because they can start to relate to their grandfather better. So I don't know if that would help anybody, but just be yourself and try to continually go back and edit it and make the story a little bit better, and a little more detail, and it'll turn out fine.
I agree. You know, when I wrote my book, I started off just, like you said, just rough notes, just ideas, places, things that happened, time periods and things like that, just real rough draft kind of thing. And then, you know, you start organizing it in one way or another, and then you realize, oh, I don't like the way it's organized. Let's kind of rearrange things a little bit, and let's you keep just refining it until eventually you get to something that you're looking at. It's like, oh my gosh, I actually have a book here. And, you know, eventually that process just kind of continues and until you get something, you know, worthwhile to put out there and publish. But I think just for those people who are out there, is like, oh, I'm not a great writer or whatever. If any of my high school English teachers knew that I wrote a book, they'd probably have a heart attack. So I've avoided sending a copy of the book back to my high school, because I don't want to have that on my conscience. But, you know, for anyone out there, like, I was not a great student in English. I wrote a book, and I've gotten good reviews for it. And, you know, it's not like I, you know, am any spectacular writer or anything like that. But to your point, you just write naturally. You know, the way that you would speak to someone perhaps is maybe the way you can write the book. And that, I think, would be a little bit more relatable to somebody, you know, especially when you're telling a personal story, but the way you would talk about it. You know, if just sit down, like you said, sit down with a voice recorder on, you know, the app on your phone and just record stuff. And the way you say it, I mean, that's probably a pretty good way to put it into words. And a lot of these voice recorders now can transcribe it for you too. So that way you can just copy and paste the text into a, you know, your document that you're working on, and you're 90% of the way there. I mean, you might need to do some editing, sure, but, you know, you got most of it done just by speaking it out loud. And so you don't really have to be a great writer. Just get something out there. And I think that's important for folks to understand, right?
Exactly.
So,
you know, I was lucky in that my mom saved all those letters. Otherwise, I wouldn't have remembered a tenth of that stuff that happened. But the interesting thing about the letters is they're so authentic, and I didn't change them. I didn't change them years later. And, you know, I wasn't a great writer at the age of 25, but it was from the heart. It was the love I was sharing with them. And I was talking about the missions, but also talking about the funny things behind the scenes. And
sure,
I would never remember the a little, but to have it all right there captured that she saved, all those letters and tapes and pictures, I had a book. And so that was just a natural thing for me to transcribe it and give it back to her as a Christmas present. Yeah. And that was one of the best gifts I ever gave her. And so that's what I would tell the people. Your memories are the best thing you could ever give your children and grandchildren, of good times and bad times, whatever, things you learned in your life. And so many people in retirement age, they have plenty of time to put those stories down. And so that's what I try to do whenever I'm speaking to any groups or whatever, is try to think of some great stories, funny things that happened to you, and put those down and just get started. And you'll be surprised how many stories there are that you can go back to and you can say, wow, that changed my life at that moment. That one thing just changed my life. And so you never know.
Yeah. And one other thing I noticed when I was going through the process too, is as you're writing, your brain kind of works a little bit faster than you can actually write. And so your brain has time to go off and wander off and think of other things. And in my case, anyways, I started, you know, remembering things that I had completely forgotten about until I started writing, and that just kind of jogged the memory. And so, like you said, there's lots of stories. Right now you might think to yourself, well, maybe I have a story or two, you know, maybe here or there, but as you're writing them, it'll unlock, you'll start remembering other things that maybe are related, maybe not necessarily related, but maybe took place in a similar time period that you might be writing about. And it just unlocks those things that you now are open up to sharing, you know, new things, new experiences that you weren't originally planning on doing, but here they are. They popped in your head for a reason. So get them out there too, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So
totally agree. That's been my philosophy from the beginning. And, you know, it's funny because I was just back from my 60th high school reunion back in Iowa Falls just a couple weeks ago, and talking with the friends I grew up with from kindergarten through high school, we all went through a lot of the same experiences of riding our bikes and going out and trying to find something interesting to do and getting into trouble and you know, having to face the consequences of not thinking things through.
Sure.
And they love going back through those stories, and then that triggers their mind on a story that they had that was very similar and that they can tell their grandkids. And so again, it's an ongoing kind of life lessons that we all keep going through. I thought about writing life lessons learned after I retired, because my goodness, so many things you keep learning as you get older. And you never had time to think about a lot of this stuff when you're busy working at a job and raising kids, and you're so busy with all these things going on. And that's the beauty of retirement, is I've had the time to sit back and reflect and then put it down on paper and make it available to people. So that's been my mission for the last, you know, 15 years of my life.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, again, important, regardless of whether it's lessons from grade school, lessons post-retirement, lessons anywhere throughout life. You know, we all have experiences that we can share and we can help other folks out. And it just makes sense. You know, if you are so inclined to put your experiences out there, your experiences are going to be different from mine, and mine are going to be different from the next guy's, and things like that. But,
exactly.
You know, when you take your perspective, mm-hmm. then you take somebody else's perspective and you kind of meld them together, eventually you're going to start seeing some common themes kind of bubbling to the surface. And it's like, maybe those are the things I need to start paying attention to. And those are the things I need to do, you know, in my own life. And, you know, maybe that helps, you know, get someone through those difficult times that they might be struggling with. So right. This has been great. I mean, I think your stories that you're sharing, all these, the different books from that you've shared with all these different lessons and different experiences that you've had, again, not only are they important for your family, but they're important for other folks to pick up and read and get your perspective on what you did as, you know, an aviator in Vietnam, and what you did, you know, as a kid growing up, and what you did, you know, all these things are important to be able to pass on and share on to future generations. And so, you know, like I said earlier, I will have the link to your website, the lifelessonsbooks.net, in the show notes for the listeners to check out, so they can get these lessons. They can digest some of these tidbits, and if nothing else, maybe that inspires somebody to share their own stories and put their own you know stuff out there. And you know, hopefully that is the case, because you know, the more stories we have out there, you know, I think the better off all of us can be, and the more lessons that we're learned, that we can share some of these lessons, you know, I think that just helps everybody out. So I do appreciate you coming on the show, Don, to share your experiences and talk a little bit about your books and your writing and you know, but especially your time in Vietnam and the stuff that you did over there. I do want to thank you for the service that you did over there. And also, not enough people who our Vietnam veterans got the welcome home that they deserve, like we talk about. So I also want to say welcome home. I know it's a little belated, but it's definitely appreciated, you know, from this side of the screen anyways, you know, definitely appreciated. And we want to thank you for your service. So appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Scott. And thank you for your service. And what is the book that you wrote? I would love to read it.
Oh yeah, sure. So I mentioned it, and I, you know, I didn't even give any information about the book. You know, I'm like the worst salesperson for my own book. But yeah, the book's called Surviving Son, and it's just a story really about my time in Afghanistan. My younger brother, he was also deployed to Afghanistan, and unfortunately he was killed in action. So it's about our kind of growing up, how we got into the military, how we deployed, and you know, how we dealt with life after coming back home, and after he didn't come home. So, you know, it's got some ups and downs. Definitely tried to make it funny in appropriate places. There's some things that'll definitely get you laughing, but you know, there's also some, you know, important, you know, serious things that take place in the book as well, obviously. And you know, I tried to write it in such a way that you kind of get to know who we were, you know, back at that time, and that way you can kind of feel a little bit about what we felt, you know, during that time period. And you know, I've heard from some people that, you know, made them laugh, made them cry, and everything in between. So you know, so yeah, again, the book is Surviving Son that I wrote, but you know, we'll maybe include a link to that in the show notes as well. But we'll definitely go check out lifelessonsbooks.net for all of Don's books, and we'll get that out there for the listeners.
Okay. Outstanding. Thank you again for having me on, Scott. It really was a wonderful conversation.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Don.